Anyway, we are joined by, I believe, Zafar Bengash. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I'm with you.
Thank you very much. We are working you very hard these days, but you know a great deal about this part of the world that we're hearing about it that has been hit by this COVID-19. That would be the Islamic Republic, but also other states now in the region are affected. And I guess I want to start with the more sensational part, because it's the one that I think Canadians should speak out against clearly and firmly, that we propaganda emanating from Washington at this time, which has a strongly cruel tenor of a sort of a pleasure in the problems experienced by the Islamic Republic, and exhibited by the Washington Post writing a story about how things are so bad that they're digging pits, P-I-T-S, in Qom, the holy city of Qom in the Islamic Republic, that can be seen from outer space. A totally, in my view, outrageous thing, but I don't really know a great deal about the details, and I'm going to ask you, have you read that piece, and what do you think this is?
Yes, I have read that piece.
And I should say, by the way, CBC the other night did the story based on the Washington Post, which is, I guess they don't have reporters who do any investigation. They just take that and throw it in my face.
Yes. You see, one of the, if people pay a little bit closer attention, you can actually photograph anything from space today. If you actually go to Google Maps or something and put in whatever your radius, wherever your radio station is located, you can actually...
You're going to get me attacked.
Well, I hope there are no drones.
Well, there they are, latitude.
So, you know, they can. You can actually pinpoint it. You can have a look at on your computer or your laptop instantly. There is no big deal. So for them to make this claim that it is visible from outer space, etc., is has absolutely no relevance or no meaning. Let me add that there is no doubt that the coronavirus epidemic is quite widespread in Iran, but it's not the highest. We know that, of course, China is number one, but Italy is now the
number two
in Europe. And in fact, something like 1,800 people have died in Italy as we speak. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, there was a report in the Sunday Telegraph of London, which said that it had obtained a report from the health authorities in Italy, which state that if this epidemic becomes overwhelming, that the Italian health ministry will not provide any health services or facilities to people over the age of 80. So mm-hmm. they have already now written off people mm-hmm. over the age of 80 in Italy. And we are talking about a Western country.
Yes. That has not been said in the Islamic Republic.
Exactly. Nothing like that. In fact, the World Health Organization has actually praised Iran for the excellent job that it has been doing in terms of containing the spread of this virus. Now, I also want to add that the Islamic Republic has repeatedly stated and demanded that the U.S. remove its illegal sanctions, because as a consequence of that, Iran is unable to obtain many of the necessary items such as face masks and gloves and so on in order to confront the spread of this deadly disease. Mm-hmm. Apropos, I might also add that while in the U.S., commentators and even political leaders have been taking cynical pleasure in what is happening in China. The Chinese billionaire Jack Ma last week sent half a million face masks and millions of other medical equipment to the United States, and he gifted that to the United States. He didn't sell it to them. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, this disease is going to affect everybody, and as a gesture of friendship, I'm sending this equipment to you. So you can see the contrast between the attitude, yes, of, let's say, people in China, despite the fact that the U.S. considers it a rival and an enemy, and, of course, it considers Iran as an enemy, what the U.S. is doing to Iran and what China has done to the U.S. So mm-hmm. I think we can begin to see the mindset that operates in the U.S. in terms of...
Yeah, we see who has a brutal system, who won't give up antagonism, the adversarial approach, when they have a common... They don't understand that as an army that is laying siege to a town, if there is a virus, the army itself will be attacked. But they have to understand that in history that has happened, where armies laying siege have actually had to retreat and go home.
Yes.
Because they picked up the disease from the people they were trying to kill.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So, you know, I also want to say that it is deeply disturbing that in the Islamic Republic of Iran, a number of very high officials have died. Mm-hmm. As a result of this virus. I mean, I can name those officials to you. For instance, mm-hmm. Ayatollah Muhammad.
Well, they lost one today.
Yeah, they lost one today as well, yes. And his name is Ayatollah Abtahi Gulpayagani, who's a senior Ayatollah in Qom. He passed away. Over the last week or 10 days, Ayatollah Muhammad Mir Muhammadi, who was an advisor to the leader of the Islamic Republic, he died on March the 2nd. 2 days ago, Ayatollah Hadi Khosrow Shahi, who used to be ambassador of Iran to the Vatican, I'd met him on a number of occasions, a very highly qualified scholar. Then we have news about a number of other people. For instance, Iran's senior vice president, Ishaq Jahangiri, has been infected by the disease, as well as Dr. Ali Akbar Velayati, who's an advisor to the leader of Iran and who used to be the former foreign minister. And about 15 to 20% of Iran's members of parliament have also been infected by this disease. Mm-hmm. These are very, very worrying signs, and yes, it has led to some speculation that there may be something mm-hmm. more than simply a yes. virus spreading somewhere, that there may be a hidden mm-hmm. hand behind it manipulating mm-hmm. all this. We don't have all the evidence, but the mm-hmm. fact is that these kinds of things are happening.
Yeah, well, you take a country that, what is it, 70, 80 million?
80 million people, yes.
Yeah, and you say, well, and of course, at the moment, the numbers are somewhere below 2,000 in almost all these places. But then a concentration of people in the leading positions, that's certainly something everybody should watch closely and ask how that could be.
That is correct. And also, I want to mention another thing to you. There is a report in the Business Insider which says that, and these are American scientists and virologists who study viruses, etc. They say that there is a more than likely chance that 96 million people would be infected in the United States, out of which about 48,000 will die. So this is the Business Insider. It is not something that is coming from outside.
Tell me who they are. Who is that?
A Business Insider is actually a magazine mm-hmm. that publishes on the web, and it's mm-hmm. an American magazine that has given this information.
Yeah. By the way, we've also had testimony in front of the American Congress, and it's an interesting kind of world we're in where it's not widely reported where the Center for Disease Control said that they had only recently begun to identify cases that they had previously said were influenza, but are actually some of them. They have no numbers, but the individual, the director, said that they had been incorrectly diagnosed, and in fact that it was corona, and including deaths.
Yes, which, in fact, you are
and,
referring.
And no, and by the way, CNN didn't choose to circulate his testimony. You can find it on other people's web.
Yes.
Other countries have noticed that.
Yes, you are referring to Dr. Robert Redfield, who is the director of U.S. Centers
yes.
for Disease Control and Prevention. He was testifying before Congress on March the 11th, and mm-hmm. he admitted that previously the deaths in the U.S. that we had attributed to the common flu mm-hmm. were in fact caused by the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And of course, this then prompted the Chinese, particularly their foreign ministry spokesperson, Zhao Lijian, who said mm-hmm. in a press conference on March the 12th, he said that given the testimony of Dr. Robert Redfield, would the United States please tell us when were the first coronavirus deaths that occurred in the United States? Could they please give us the names of hospitals where these occurred? And could they please tell us how many people have died? And of
yes.
course, immediately when the Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson made those statements, the very next day, major U.S. media outlets, including the New York Times, CNN,
yes,
CBS,
Washington Post.
And so on, they all of them said, oh, the Chinese are indulging in conspiracy theories now.
Yes.
I mean, he asked questions. He said, you owe us these answers.
Yes, he didn't have a theory. He had a question.
Exactly. He said,
yes.
Your own experts are saying that previously the deaths that you attributed to flu were actually caused by the coronavirus. So he said, could you please tell us?
Yeah.
When did
if he wishes to withdraw the statement, we'd like to know that. You can watch it online.
Yes.
He did say it. And by the way, aren't we? We're talking about people who are saying, "Let us share the information we have. Let us have transparency." And of course, this has been raised that question because others are throwing accusations at them. And I'm very impressed that they're not countercharging, but they are saying, now that you've raised that subject in an insulting and irresponsible and dishonest way, we have a question for you. And
exactly.
And a matter of fact, we don't care about your press officer, we don't care about your Secretary of State. Just send us out someone competent
right.
who is in charge of the data, because we have a question. Your disease control man said this. And by the way, when they raise that question, they're helping the American people, because the American people ought to ask the same question. Where what hospital did this happen?
Yes.
And what was it? And let us now identify who the poor victims were. Now, we're speaking to Zafar Benghash, by the way, Crescent International. You can find Zafar online just by saying Zafar. You'll find out. And I better ask you about this. We have a crisis, additional one, and it applies to Syria. Of course, it applies to Venezuela. It applies to the Islamic Republic. The United States has criminal sanctions, actually. These are unilateral. I like when the Islamic Republic talks about this, they say unilateral sanctions. It's only them. It has no international validity. But at a time when everyone needs to cooperate and share, the people of Syria under severe sanction and a war, and the people of the Islamic Republic are under increasingly severe sanctions, and yet they're supposed to fight this virus on their own. Can you talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the Islamic Republic has repeatedly called for the removal of these sanctions because
Want universal support, by the way. Where is Europe? Where's ever the people saying, where's Canada saying, don't do that?
Yes, yes. In fact, these sanctions have absolutely no international legality. They are totally arbitrary and unilaterally imposed by the United States, which is illegal under international law, and yet they indulge in this kind of behavior, and as you pointed out, against Syria and Venezuela as well. And I would add, for instance, Gaza Strip to that, because that is also under siege, although not under American siege, but definitely under Israeli siege. But with respect to the situation at the present time, I mean, even prior to this epidemic breaking out, the Islamic Republic of Iran was unable to import a lot of desperately needed medicines, even for cancer patients, for children, and so on, which meant that their health the system was stretched to breaking point, and yet they have continued to struggle on with great determination and grit. But because of this epidemic, it has made the situation much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to, you know, bring this to the other side and to contrast the conduct of the People's Republic of China. Although the epidemic broke out in Wuhan province in the middle of December, the research that they did in terms of the genome of this virus, they actually immediately shared it with the rest of the world. It is available on the internet, in medical journals, in all credible medical journals that scientists and researchers use, so that the Chinese provided a lead time to the rest of the world of the research that they had done on this virus so that the rest of the world could benefit from.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at their attitude compared to that of the United States and how it is mistreating countries like Islamic Republic of Iran, Venezuela, and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in Syria, again, it is subjected to punishing sanctions.
Yeah, Safar, on that, can I ask you something? Because I know you could clarify this. There's a tendency of people who are resisting U.S. hegemony and U.S.-backed violence against these countries and the sanctions to say, oh, the American government is targeting the regime of Syria. They use the word regime. But it's the people who are suffering. But in fact, they're targeting the people, and they know they're targeting the people, and they intend to harm the people in order to make the people overthrow the government. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. That's what they intend to do. In fact, in every situation, whenever sanctions are imposed on any country, it is impossible for the people, the ordinary people, not to be affected by them, because obviously
they're the target.
Yeah, exactly. And the aim behind those sanctions is that somehow the people would become fed up with the governments on those countries, and then they will rise up.
That's the logic.
Exactly. That's the logic that the Americans follow. And yet, the exact opposite happens, because the people in those countries are not stupid. They can understand who who has imposed the sanctions on them and who is causing their suffering. And so, far from turning against the governments, they actually rally behind their governments, because they know that their governments are not their enemies. It's the U.S. that is their enemy, and it's the U.S. that is causing all this suffering to
them. Yes. Now, we have the area of Idlib, and that is now part of the corona issue, because in Idlib, the place is run by mercenaries called terrorists, but they're mercenaries too, and they aren't caring for that population that's under their authority, and certainly they don't have anything resembling a proper hospital system. And here the West is still trying to preserve these mercenaries who control a good portion of the population.
Yes, of course. I mean, unfortunately, those mercenaries don't care for the people. And even in the areas that are under the Syrian government control, unfortunately, the aerial bombings that are carried out by countries like the United States or Israel, they often target hospitals. And so they want to cripple the healthcare system of Syria so that the Syrian government would not be able to look after its own people. And as you pointed out, these mercenaries that are operating in Syria, and incidentally, today and yesterday, the ceasefire agreement that was arrived at between Russia and Turkey surrounding the M4 highway, that there would be a security zone or a zone that would be monitored by Russian and Turkish forces about 6 kilometers wide. It was violated yesterday by these mercenaries, and so traffic on the M4 highway has been blocked since last night. And yet there was an agreement that Turkey promised that it would prevent those mercenaries from blocking the highway and allow free flow of traffic and goods, etc. And yet that has been blocked so that literally millions of people that are linked up by this highway are now being affected by it. So on the one hand, you have this epidemic raging over there. On the other hand, people are unable to access desperately needed food and other medicines, etc., mm-hmm. as a consequence of these mercenaries operating in Idlib province.
Well, this is a very important message. Zafar, we're so glad we could talk to you. I'm afraid we're going to have to trouble you again in the future because these stories are dynamic, they're dangerous, and we need to get the word out. So thank you very, very much.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you, Phil.
Okay, Zafar Bengash. This is the Chair Report. It is CIUT. It is 89.5 FM. We are on SoundCloud. We are on Facebook. And I remind you, by the way, differentbooklist.com. Go to them. You can order books from them online, and they will send them to you free postage.